Do you feel like the team focuses more on the road, or is there anything to that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never been in a – I've never ever been 3-3, and those three were on the road, and the three losses were at home. This is like, you know, an enigma for me. I've been coaching for 36 years, and I was going back with John McMullen, my old coach at Santa Monica College. We were trying to think about that, and I can't remember it ever. So I won't hang on worry about it. We're 3-3, and it doesn't matter where they were as long as we can get the next one.
Okay, now we're here. What up, man? Sunday morning. AFC, NFC Championship Sunday morning. UNLV, as you heard, got a win last night. Amazing. 3-3, and all three of their wins have come on the road, and all three of their losses in the Mountain West have come at the Thomas and Mack. Scratch your head, figure out that one. We'll be talking more about that in the near future. This is Out of Line. We come your way every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. I'm Brian. To my right on your radio dial is Missy. Behind the big board is the man, the legend, not the myth.
There absolutely is a myth. What are you talking about?
No, there's no myth. There's no myth.
Oh, there's lots of myths.
Well, there could be. I mean, maybe under your hat you dyed what hair you have yellow or something.
You know what's funny? On my Facebook, on my memories, showed up of when I was teaching in Taiwan, and I had a pink mohawk in the pictures.
No way.
Yes. And our kid Jared here, he's training, he actually saw the pic, right? You did see that?
I saw a pic, Mag, of you on your Facebook page where you look like Hannibal Lecter when he went on vacation to go kill the guy. You have this like short bowl cut. I don't know where you were. You had like a bowl cut. I have to show you. It's on your Facebook page. At one time, it was actually, I think, a profile picture. I don't know why you would have used it, but it was nasty.
Well, best pic, you guys, is Mag sporting the derby hat, hanging with his hot better half.
Yes, my hot
that's
girlfriend.
That's the pick right there.
No, it's a good pick.
Of the week.
It's a good pick. But the pick I'm talking about, I have to show you. Hey, the guy you were just hearing to my left on your dial is Chris Wynn. Chris, of course, you hear him pretty much daily. Almost daily. I mean, a lot on the press box
over
on our sister station, the leader.
The press box with Chris Wynn.
Clay press Baker. Box 1100 and 100.9 FM ESPN radio right across the hall from here. And again, that show's on 11 to 2 every day. Press box, yeah, with Graney and Clay Baker. And Chris Wynn's on it all the time, man. He gets the drink on that show. It's the only show on the radio I know
do
you get
really?
The drink
it's
on.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, they get the drink like every Thursday.
Anytime I get to sub in and do a little six man action
on Thursdays.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's a great.
Can't go wrong. You got booze in the studio. Yeah,
what are you guys drinking?
Oh, they drink good stuff.
They have a bartender that comes in and makes different drinks for them every week.
How come we don't have that? It's Sunday, Funday.
Because Brian can't get out there
and
convince JR Starkus.
Missy wants a new segment to the show. Yeah. She's adding to it.
Yeah, Sunday, Funday.
Sunday morning, I think one drop of alcohol, considering I never sleep on Saturday nights, would completely finish me.
I think the problem is Brian can't convince JR Starkus to get up this early on a Sunday morning.
That might be a problem, too.
You know, but
that could be a problem.
My favorite was the day.
Most bartenders don't get up early on Sunday mornings.
This guy does.
Yeah.
When he has to.
Usually
when Chris Wynn chimes in, he's in bed.
Yeah.
See, now I'm
kind of missed that segment, by the way. When in bed.
You like steam.
Hey, let's
you
get
guys
to the
like
show
the
real quick.
Coming straight from the
You had no shirt on.
The mattress. Yeah.
That was awesome. Hey, listen, I got my obligations to take care of. Out of Line. First of all, check us out on social media. You can check out the Facebook page. It's just called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Twitter is at Out of Line 1340 AM. We're doing the show Facebook Live, as you can see. I think it's on Missy's page, my page. Chris Wren, can we get on your page too? I don't know if she can.
She can find some way to tag me, right?
I tagged
so we can line
you.
It up.
All right, there we go. So we're tagged on a few different pages there. Down the road at some point, we'll have a YouTube going, and it's going to be called Out of Line from Behind. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. We've talked about that. Check it out. Our next video, I think, comes your way Thursday night. We'll be at the Vegas Golden Knights game. They play the New York Islanders, and we'll be there Thursday night for that one. You can give us a call. Hey, without you, there's no show. So call us anytime. Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. In studio today, as I mentioned, there's me, there's Missy, there's Magnum, and the regulars we just mentioned on the press box, Chris Wynn, and we got a new guy in the studio, Jared, back there. Magnum is teaching him the ropes. You only got 20 more years to catch up to Mags. Mags right now, 63 years old. He's been doing this for a long, long time. So, good thing he's on the phone.
He's like your Yoda.
Yeah, right.
No, I heard. I'm not 63 years old.
No. 36 no. Backwards?
I'm not that either.
You should have taken it and run with it. But, hey, we'll start off talking about UNLV basketball. We're going to have Brian Shapiro, who was at the game in Fort Collins yesterday, and he saw the win, and he's been hanging out with Larry Eustace. Some interesting stuff. Want to talk to him about that. And after Friday's loss to the Panthers, the Vegas Golden Knights are now 500 in 2018. Their season record's way better than that, but the question is, are they sliding? Nightcap will dive into that. And the NFL playoffs are down to four teams, we mentioned. And by the end of today, the Super Bowl 52 matchup will be all set up. And I'm sure between the five of us, and when I say five of us, and I'm not, Jared, unfortunately not included yet in the picks of the week, but I'm talking about Dewey, who's sitting at home listening right now. And Dewey's trying to catch. Now, for the first time ever, this whole season, I am looking in the rearview mirror at picks of the week. I've won 7 weeks in a row, and I'm out front with two more pick week segments to go. Magnum,
let's
will
be
complain
fair,
about.
You've been the beneficiary of some unquestionable or some questionable officiating. Me and Dewey both getting screwed.
Hey, I am
based on a newspaper that was printed the night before, as opposed to the live.
But
have
I been playing the same lines as all of you guys? I'm doing the same lines.
But that doesn't. Yeah, but you're not picking the same games.
I wasn't complaining when I was 5-7. I'm going to gloat now that I'm. What am I? 12-7. I haven't lost a game in how many weeks? 13-7.
There's a reason why he's wearing the Brady jersey, and okay. It's called the Tuck Rule.
No, you're right.
Actually, everyone.
I'm going to put my glove on
because
I don't want it to be exposed to the audience right now. We can't let
them
see my
face. You know what Johnny Cochran said.
Everyone's fired up because he's wearing a Tom Brady jersey right
now.
Exactly.
They're fired up on Facebook Live right now.
And I'm good. Let them be fired up because I am a Detroit fan who is betting on the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Just
kiss
so you know,
of death.
This is seriously, there is a reason for this, and I'm not going to share it with you, but I'm wearing a Tom Brady jersey and the glove. I said if I have to wear the jersey, I'm wearing the damn glove. So I'm wearing the glove.
So
see?
He's a cross between Michael Jackson and Tom
Brady. Hey,
and then,
if Tom Brady had Michael Jackson's right hand, if he had his right
hand with the hat on,
hey, this is all about John Moles Roadkill Grill. Hey, by the way, Larry, if you're listening out there, I know you got up early, brother. We appreciate you. He fed me and Missy like you wouldn't believe the other night. And John Mole came out. He actually goes by Chuck. He said there's like five generations of John Moles, so he goes by Chuck. He came and hang with us. We ate great.
Oh, it was delicious.
We had a lot of profanity in our conversation. It was awesome.
Why do I picture Missy being the one who uses the most profanity?
Really? Actually, I don't.
She doesn't.
You know what?
You'd be really surprised. She does not use. I would think
same
thing.
Italian girl from New York, New York Yankees tattoo.
She spends every day at 5:30. You'll catch her at Mass at St. Joseph's.
That's right.
Okay, she's constantly at Mass.
Wow.
All the time, man. Yeah,
so she's a saint.
I wouldn't go crazy.
So what's she doing hanging with you
then? Maybe she's at the status of apprentice saint. But listen, Fact This is coming up, and I want to let you know something about Fact This. I kind of mentioned both Missy and Chris Wynn know what I'm talking about here. It's upsetting, but it's something you probably won't want to miss today. Some scumbag out there, and it hit close to home to me since it deals with my university where I graduated from, so it's really bothersome. We'll talk about that. And if you like the Golden Knights and if you plan to watch the Super Bowl, you won't want to miss today's Blaze, and it's pretty cool. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubba's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubba's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbasuniversity.com for more information. No sound?
No sound, no.
Okay, you didn't read the log. Okay, so
there we go. I got all right. Now you know what I threw it in as a highlight, so I gotta. That's
okay.
The problem.
Are we
so.
Ready at all? Can we get it up or no?
Yeah, we'll
that's
get it up.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
I'm not going there at all.
It's Sunday morning. Come on.
Here we go.
Put your head down.
Anything you put on why this team has been playing better on the road here in conference play than at home?
Honestly, I have no idea. But, you know, we're right there. I think out of all our losses this year, they probably add up to a total of 25, 30 points. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it ain't like guys are just coming here and beating us up. You know, we're beating ourselves up. You know, just decision-making, how effort, you know, it's just little things. And, you know, it's things that's going to be cleaned up within the next few games.
Javon Mooring talking about after the game, them winning. You know, was there something magical about them winning on the road, why they're doing well? It's not anything. They played really crappy teams on the road is why they've won on the road. Let's be realistic. I mean, they've played San Jose State, they've played Air Force, and they played a very undermanned Colorado State team that was up by 11 points at one point in the second half, Chris.
Well, they have to go on a scoring barrage at the end of the game to actually win. In Fort Collins last night, we all saw what happened in San Jose with the Spartans against probably one of the worst teams in the nation in college basketball. So there, I don't think anybody's in any under illusion as far as the Rebels and what they've actually put out there, not only from a record standpoint, from a win-loss standpoint. It hasn't been exactly pretty, to say the least.
Well, you know, the way it started this year, man, we all thought they were going to have a really good team. I mean, they beat Utah by double digits. I'm not talking about great teams, but I'm talking about a Pac-12 team. They beat Illinois by double digits, a Big Ten team. You thought they would come in. They took Arizona, who at the beginning of the season was ranked in the top three. They took them to overtime. I mean, you really thought this team had the ability on certain nights to play with anybody. I'm scared every time they take the court now. Mags, you're watching this game. You're sitting in studio for this team. Come on, man. This team scares the hell out of you every time they take the court, don't they?
Well, I think it adds to the adage that conference play is a different beast. And, you know, these coaches, they know Marvin Menzies. They know his players. A lot of them recruited the same players that are now playing at UNLV, so they know the tendencies of these players. Look, outside of McCoy, how many of these players would have been recruited by Arizona? You know, maybe Justin. But, you know, a lot of schools, they shy away from the
Houston
junior college.
Houston was a great find.
But
great
what I'm saying is a lot of coaches at Big Five programs will shy away from a JUCO guy, especially elite programs like Arizona. That's not a knock on Shakur Justin. That's just the way it is. But I do think there is something to be said. I take more away from the game against New Mexico than I do from the win last night.
I agree.
Because to me, you got beat at home by a team that has 8 players. They look like the walking wounded in their cherry uniforms and whatever they call it.
Luke Skywalker beat Obi-Wan Kenobi, didn't he?
Yeah.
9 years as his assistant coach, and he comes in and out-coaches him in the second half of the game. There's no other way to put it.
And you go back to the old shot selection down the stretch.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, I take more away from the loss to New Mexico than I do from the win against Now I'm not going to say that those kids didn't play hard down the stretch. They could have packed it in, and they could have quit, and they didn't. Instead, they fought back, they hit some big shots, and they won the game on the road against a Colorado State team that, quite frankly, they should beat.
I agree. I want to hear what Shapiro. Get Shapiro on the phone if you can, man.
I'm waiting for him to call in, but...
Oh, he's not calling back? You said he'd call?
Does he want me to call him?
No, call him. Call him. He's got, for all I know, you may be a snooze alarm in Fort Collins right now. You know, Missy, you've been to the games with me here, and we'll get you on the Facebook Live. We'll turn it around so we can you know, you've seen the games. You came here when they were kind of peaking,
right?
And so you definitely saw them. I won't say they crashed, but a different team right now. Basketball's not your favorite sport in the world, but you've been getting into it a lot more. Right. Yeah. Well, college basketball, right. But you've been getting into it more. What have you seen? Definitely something different. What do you see in the faces of these guys when you watch them play?
I see them tired and confused. I don't know. They started out to like kind of know what they were doing. They seemed like they were an actual team together and knew what they were all about. And now they just seem confused, and they don't have that heart that they did when I first started watching them.
And it's not just the heart, like you said. I mean, it's also some of the mechanics, the things that are simple. Like, we're watching guys, again, Miss Lamps, and the one thing that's been most startling to me, and I think anybody would agree, we got Shap on the phone now, but I think what's most startling to me is the lack of defensive presence on the inside with the size advantage UNLV usually has. I mean, it is amazing how many guys blow right past Brandon McCoy like he's not even there. And the lane opens up. Like I said, I've said it a bunch of times watching the game. It's like Moses has arrived and the Red Sea parts, and they go right down the lane and boom, it's a slam dunk. And there's a 7 foot one guy that is supposed to be a lottery pick that is getting dunked over constantly. That's a problem.
And a quick note before we bring Shap in here, and I'm sure he's gonna highlight it, is that defensive effort there in the final, what, 4+ minutes of the game when you sub out McCoy and you bring in Beck and also you bring in Mbake too.
Mbake.
That was absolutely huge for them from a defensive standpoint because they were just getting killed down low the entire game, and that's just kind of put a focus on Brandon McCoy, what he needs to do and fix defensively.
Well, here's the thing, though. We're overlooking the fact, and you just mentioned Mbake. He's actually grown quite a bit over the last couple of games, and, you know.
Oh, he's right now the most improved player from the beginning of the season to now.
I could be wrong, but I believe he just turned 18 years old.
No way.
I thought 18? It was 19. Are you sure it's
18? I'll double check. But
yeah, double check. You may be right. You know, the one thing, we'll bring Brian Shapiro in now. He's in Fort Collins. Brian, did we serve as your snooze alarm? Are you awake?
No, I needed to get up early anyway because I'm actually lucky enough to have breakfast with Larry Eustace, his wife, in a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that for sure. I definitely know you got to spend some time with a guy that I say, you know, in my opinion, and I really base this opinion a lot off of last season, but the coaching job Larry Eustace did at Colorado State last year was one of the best I've seen since I've been into college basketball. To see a guy take a very undermanned team, at one point only 8 players strong, and take them to a Mountain West regular season co-championship, or right below, wasn't it? They second in the Mountain West. And then to go to the championship game was absolutely. And then the run they made in the NIT. I mean, this guy, that was all coaching. And I say there's some decent coaches in the Mountain West. Let me tell you right now. You got Musselman up at UNR. You got to love Leon Rice. Every year he does a good, sound job. Terry in Fresno State. Look at what this guy has done the last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what. I don't know that I wouldn't take Larry Eustace over every one of those guys.
I agree with you 100%. Maybe I'm a little biased, but Larry's about to pass Stu Morrill for the most wins ever at Colorado State. Next game he wins. That's what he does, though. He wins everywhere. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. And, you know, he's got a tough team this year. We can get into that maybe in a little bit. But I agree with you. I think the coaching job he did last year was unbelievable. And I think the coaching job he did yesterday was great, having UNLV having 3 times the talent that Colorado State has.
So, Brian, you're at the game last night, got a chance to catch it front and center. Your thoughts regarding UNLV, we've been talking, you know, at length about what they put out there on the floor, both at home and on the road in the conference. Your thoughts, given they were able to come away with a victory up there in Fort Collins last night?
I'll simplify it. For 36 minutes, Colorado State absolutely outworked, out-hustled, and outplayed UNLV, considering I thought UNLV came out lethargic. For most of the game, they were flat, they took bad shots, they weren't running, and they weren't defending. Let me give you an idea of what that does for the other team that UNLV is playing. Okay, I was in the locker room at halftime. I was lucky enough where Colorado State let me in the locker room at halftime. Before the coaches walked into the locker room, the players were saying to each other, these guys don't want to defend us. They don't want to guard us, guys. We're better than them. And I guarantee you other locker rooms are saying the same thing. Then the coaches came in and said the same thing. Guys, we're better than them. You know, they're going to zone. They don't want to guard us. You know, so when you play defense like UNLV has played over the course of the last couple weeks, you give these other teams like the Utah State and the San Jose State confidence. Hey, we're better than these guys. And you get their best. And I think that's what happened yesterday. The last 4 minutes of the game, J.D. Page, in my opinion and in the coach's opinion, single-handedly lost the game for Colorado State. They put him in the game with 4 minutes to go. He had 2 turnovers, a couple really stupid fouls at half court, and he took a couple horrible shots. And without going into any further detail there might be some disciplinary action against J.D. Page. He is not getting along with the coaching staff. To not get into more further detail, but he single-handedly lost that game for Colorado State. Well, UNLV didn't win the game.
If they get rid of J.D. Page, I imagine Larry Stacey's going to have to suit up. They're running out of players up there in Fort Collins, so he might have to put on a uniform. But, Brian, you know, the game yesterday was indicative of what we've seen throughout the Mountain West campaign so far with this team. Out-rebounded on the offensive end, it was almost disgusting to see a team that undermanned and undersized compared to UNLV get out-rebound UNLV on the offensive glass. But what also is disturbing as well is the same thing we've said time and time again. They come out in the second half, and they look like they were out-coached again. It looks like Larry Stacey was in the wheels. But I had to ask you, Brian, how much of this game was the Shapiro factor? You were in the locker room. I imagine all the coaches were hitting you up for information on UNLV. Was part of that close game the Shapiro factor?
Well, I'll tell you what was really unique about the whole situation. So I go to morning practice with Larry. He picks me up at the hotel. He introduced me to some of his assistant coaches, who I've already met a few of them. And he says to me, you know, Brian knows everything about UNLV. He probably knows more about UNLV than we all know. Brian, what can you tell us? So I'm sitting there with all the assistant coaches before their shoot-around, talking to the assistant coaches. And I did the same thing with the CBS broadcasters.
You said play man defense all game long, because that's what they did.
Yeah, it was really unique, and it was a lot of fun. And got to see Larry work, watch the shoot-around. And, you know, I was in there with the coaches after the game, and they could not believe how bad UNLV was, considering the talent. You know, look at this stat. UNLV didn't have one offensive rebound in the first half. Not one. And this is supposed to be NBA talent. Not one. And look, I'm right behind the Colorado State bench. I'm right there on the floor. Nothing's changed. It's just effort. It's the effort factor. UNLV at times looks focused on the offensive end. At times. But on the defensive end, they never look focused. Never. And McCoy just stands there with his hands up. Now, you could make the argument, well, he doesn't want to get in foul trouble. He's foul prone. How often do you see McCoy block a shot or make a great defensive play? You know, Nico Carvacho, who is a mediocre, they went 2-for-9 yesterday, mediocre Mountain West Conference player, completely outplayed Brandon McCoy in front of 10 NBA scouts that were on the sidelines. He just outplayed McCoy. He had 16 rebounds. That's worse. That's all that is. And Colorado State, again, maybe I'm biased, they're a very, very well-coached team. And in my opinion, Marvin Menzies has a lot more work to do. And it's unfortunate because they have the talent. You know, Larry told me over and over again yesterday, hands down, this team has the most talent in the Mountain West Conference. And I'm watching the Boise State-Nevada game on TV last night. I'm sure you guys watched it as well. Very good game, competitive. UNLV has more talent than those teams. Hutchinson arguably is the best player in the conference.
They'll both finish in front of UNLV when it's all said.
They absolutely will. Those are the top two teams in the conference, yep, in my opinion. So it's unfortunate, Brian. But certainly, you know, going back to Colorado State, it was a wonderful experience. A lot of nice people here. And, you know, I've never been in a college basketball locker room at halftime. That was pretty cool. And watching Larry work was great. He's a great guy. And he has a lot of nice things to say about UNLV. Of course, he was offered the job there, what, like 20 years ago? And, you know, just it was a great experience. And I know Marv wasn't feeling good. I heard 2 days ago he was sick in the hotel. He didn't even go to their shoot-around. So that could have a little bit to do with it. But, you know, these guys need to play inspired basketball. They're just not doing it now.
Yeah. And speaking of that MASH unit there with the Rams of Colorado State, I'll piggyback on to what Brian was just talking about. I can't believe that they didn't have Set Shot B. Schapp suit up and maybe throw on a jersey, given how short-handed that Colorado State team was out there yesterday.
The old Rock Set, yep, Shot.
He's, you got know, the Set, yeah, Shot,
last
I'm telling
thing,
you.
Last thing I'm going to say, and I know we're running a little low on time here, but one thing I want to ask all you guys, it really has been surprising to me. I understand that maybe there's some type of a doghouse, maybe we're not seeing something in practice, but you know what? But they were playing a lot more players when they were winning a lot. One of those guys in particular, Anthony Smith. This guy had two of the most dynamic dunks I've seen at UNLV in 5 years in the pre-conference schedule. This guy doesn't see the court anymore. I mean, obviously, Menzies is coaching. There's something at practice. We don't see practices. Right. But how is, when you're playing close games like this, and you've got an excitable kid that I understand hasn't been playing basketball that long, but we've seen this kid has raw, unadulterated talent. Why is he not on the floor?
Well, he was sick yesterday.
He's been sick or had an ankle injury. There's been something wrong with him for a month and a half now.
He didn't make the trip yesterday. I guess he's got the flu.
He's got, I don't know what he's got, irritable bowel syndrome or something. I mean, God almighty, it's crazy.
The whole town has the flu.
Yeah, right?
Well, Brian, it's interesting you asked that question, because I was out with Mark Anderson from the RJ, the other night here in Colorado, and great guy. And he asked that same question to me. He said, Brian, do you think there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about with this team? And this is how I answer that question. We're probably never going to know because, you know, of course, the media access to practices and that sort of thing. Let's be honest. It's not the best. You don't get to see a lot. And even if there was something going on, coaching staff wouldn't tell us. And look, I don't have a huge problem with that. That's their business to take care of. But I would say no, Brian. I would say no. I don't think there's anything crazy going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I think this is...
It must be Anthony Smith's nighttime job at the dispensary. That's about to be what's bothering Marvin Menzies. I can't think of what else could be doing
like
right now.
I like him, though. I like Anthony Smith.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. What's going to happen is that kid's going to transfer and be a star at, like, San Diego State or something because he's not getting any time here. Listen, Brian, I really appreciate you joining the show, my friend. Even though he doesn't know us, tell Larry we all said hello. I wouldn't mind seeing him down the road wearing a red and gray jacket and walking around the Thomas and Mack Center. That's just my opinion.
He looked snazzy in that orange yesterday.
No one's going to have Diet Coke in Las Vegas if he comes over there. Because that guy drinks 25 cans of Diet Coke a day. I've never seen anyone drink as much soda as this guy. I got to get him to stop. I got to tell him to drink some Perrier or something.
Yeah, well, as hyper as he is, that'll kill him eventually. Brian Shapiro joining us from Fort Collins. We appreciate it. I'm here, Brian Feldman, Missy Lynn. We got C-Win, and we've got Mags behind the big board. We're going to take a break in a minute. Brian, we appreciate you, man. I did want to say the other night when we went to the last game, the last home game against New Mexico, after the game, Marvin Menzies, just so frustrated. I kind of asked him at one time. I've never seen this, Chris. I've seen it from coaches, but you see, rare. Mm. He got so distraught at a call on, I believe it was Mbake, that he went over and grabbed the official and was holding his shoulders and shaking him. And I asked him in the press conference about that after the game.
You seem a little frustrated with the officiating. About the 12-minute mark when Mbake got that foul, you kind of went over to the official, put your hands on him. We're talking to him a little bit. What did you say?
I don't remember, bro. There were so many moments that I was frustrated.
Yeah, he was frustrated.
I think he knew exactly what he said because that was it wasn't like a typical, a timeout. He was out at center court and we were there sitting together thinking to ourselves, we didn't really see that a lot, right? You don't see a head coach at center court talking to an official and grabbing onto him like he was.
The other thing about that is T.C. Martin, I believe it was, asked him, I think it was the first question in the press conference after the game. I can't remember who he pulled out, and he talked to him, and he was, like, having some words with the player.
It was McCoy.
And I think it was T.C. asked him, hey, what did you say to him? Or,
He said, I'm not going to tell you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. Well, after the game was pretty cool. Missy actually got Shakur Justin to kind of smile in an interview. She did her first UNLV interview with a player. It was fun. He had a good time with it, and especially after a loss. You don't usually see a player enjoy himself, but he did as much as he could.
Okay, so you're saying about how during practice you were practicing, and during that you really thought that this was it. This is what you were getting yourselves into. You're excited about it. Were you practicing to play this team or just in general with anybody?
No, we were just practicing just to get better ourselves. We don't practice for the next team. We don't compete with each other for the next team. We just compete to get each other better and prepare for all the games, not just one single game.
So after the practice that you had now and now the defeat that you guys had, where do you see yourselves practicing next?
We're just going to keep going up. Most of our games are just like, last-minute decisions. And so it's not like we're fatigued or it's just a little detail. So from here, we're just going to keep going, keep practicing hard with no problem.
Right. And now, what did Coach just tell you? Did he talk to you about after the game, anything that it's going to take it in, confidence?
We just can't hang our heads, point no fingers. We just got to be a team and be as one and just, we got to take some losses sometime, but the best way to race it is with a W. So we're just going to go practice hard and then we got another game. So.
And now who's your favorite player on the team?
On what team?
On your team, UNLV.
Nobody. Everybody's my favorite player.
That's a good answer.
That was pretty good.
favorite player on the team. I would have said I knew Shakur used to be one guy that wouldn't say himself, but a lot of players in that situation, you got to be your own favorite player, or you're sitting on the bench.
No,
I would think.
I don't think so, because I mean, when I used to play and everything, it's the fact of I would look at somebody else and say, "Wow, I want to be like that," and I would have someone to look up to in a way, you know.
Yep.
That's why I asked.
Okay,
like
I get
that,
it.
You know?
Hey, listen, you're listening to Out of Line. It's Fox Sports Radio. I'm Brian, Missy, C. Wynn, Magnum. We're all here, and we will be right back.
Two on one. Riley Smith is back for Vegas. He comes out in front. Subban makes the stop. Rebound comes in front, and a shot. They score. Panthers win it in overtime, 4-3.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, Vegas Golden Knights, as I mentioned, man, in their last seven games, 3-4, 4-4 since 2018 began, and 1-3 in their last four games. Is that something that you think is based on the fact that five of their last seven games have been on the road?
I don't know if there's any question about that, but you're not complaining at all.
Not at all.
If you're Vegas Golden Knights fans, given you go into Tampa Bay, face the Lightning, the best team in the NHL by everybody's standards as of right now. You knock them off. And then, of course, you play in a tight one down in Sunrise against the Panthers, and you come back basically from being down three times in the hockey game and tie that game up and take that game to overtime and then lose in overtime. It was still a solid effort. It's going to be very interesting, though, to see what they do today on Championship Sunday when they take on the Carolina Hurricanes up there in the Carolinas in Mark Seidel's neck of the woods. We shall see the former Hartford Whalers, by the way.
Yeah, you know, the hottest team right now is in 2018. How about the Colorado Avalanche? Well, nine in a row?
I would argue that it's the Boston Bruins who are playing the best hockey
in the
NHL.
They're playing the best hockey, but the Avalanche have won nine in a row.
But to be fair, I think you should also say, even though they're, as you said, 3-4 in their last seven, they have gotten points in every game so far in 2018, with the exception of the St. Louis game
it's
and
crazy,
the Nashville game.
Isn't it crazy?
You know, the nice thing about hockey is if you go to overtime, you do get a point. But, you know, let's be real. The bye week hurt them against Edmonton. The NHL bye week is stupid. It's not stupid in concept. It's stupid in the way it's processed, the way it's done.
No, I
the
totally
idea
agree
is
with
fantastic.
You.
Look, give these guys a rest, but
in the NHL, they should all take the same rest. Take a week off.
Make
it a full week off instead of just the weekend that the couple teams get. Make it a full week off.
To be honest, I would argue that the NHL got it wrong by not allowing players to go play in the Olympics. Because for all those guys who weren't going to be in the Olympics, which would be a lot of guys on this Golden Knights team, and a lot of guys on a lot of teams throughout the league, would give them an opportunity to rest up. Now, for the guys who are going to the Olympics, I understand they're going to put a little additional wear and tear on their bodies, but the Olympics is not like the NHL.
And it's once every 4 years, and it means so much to the individual countries.
But
I don't know how you take that away from them. I really don't. You know, it's bothersome to me, Chris. And the whole thing is I'm not down in the Golden Knights. I'm just asking, you know, hey, a little bit of a stumbling block lately. The thing that I'm most bothered by isn't what they're doing right now. I still am irked by the guys that got absolutely left out of the All-Star game. I am amazed Marsall and Carlson are not in the All-Star game. It's a crime to me. I understand you've got to get some for every team. You only have so many slots available. But this is such a unique story. And especially a guy like Carlson who's had so many big goals, and he's one of the leading goal scorers in the National Hockey League. How is this guy not on the All-Star team?
Well, it's because the NHL gets it wrong yet again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the concept we keep going back to. Look, the NHL absolutely nailed it by putting a hockey team in Vegas. They were the first. They will forever be remembered as the first major league to put a team in Las Vegas. They nailed it. Gary Bettman got that right. Where they screw up is the playoff format is stupid. You know, with the whole, you got to create rivalry, so you may end up with the number two against the number three seed in the first round of the playoffs, which is dumb. The All-Star game concept is dumb. The fact that William Karlsson, Anders Lee of the Islanders are not on the All-Star team.
Another one. Great,
Vladimir Tarasenko not on the All-Star team. Dumb. You know, look,
and no offense to him at all, but
Marc-Andre Fleury has played tremendous, but does he really deserve to be on this All-Star?
Yes, he does. Yes, I would argue,
based on his goals against average in the games he's played.
He's qualified now to lead the league. It's a 1.77 goals against average.
I think a more deserving goaltender got snubbed.
John Gibson?
Absolutely.
I would say that based on the body of work, the fact that he now qualifies, the fact that when he's in goal, this team looks unbeatable. I think he may be the MVP of the league, playing.
I'm not going to disagree, but I'll tell you what. They've looked impermeable at times with Malcolm Subban in net. So, I mean, this team is just playing cohesively, and this is a great it is magical to watch this team play and how well they play together. It is so much fun, and it's not just line one and two and three. Their fourth line can compete with any fourth line in hockey, and I love seeing that. And I'm really thrilled. Listen, we got to move on. We'll talk more about the Knights. They got a game tonight. They got a game Tuesday. They got a game Thursday. We got a caller, right? Okay, let's go out to the phone lines. We'll come back. We got Blaze and all that, so let's get out to the phone lines before we take our next break. What's Jose, right? What's going on, Jose?
Man, I don't know if I even want to talk, man. You guys are doing so good. I think I want to keep listening to the show.
No, man, you're on the spot now. Come on, you gotta talk to Tom Brady a la Michael Jackson here. What's going on, man?
All right, man. So I'm at the book right now, and basically I was telling Missy when on your Facebook feed that I like two teams today. If you're thinking about betting the game, and you like both teams on different games, I like the Jaguars, and I like the Vikings. Now, if you're gonna bet the game, in my opinion, right now it's at 7.5 at the book that I'm at for the Patriots, and then you got the Vikings at -3. If you take the Jaguars and the Vikings and do a 6.5-point teaser, you can get the Jags at +14. There's no way the Patriots are going to beat the Jaguars by more than 14 if they do win this game. I don't see that happening. And then not only that, you can flip it and get the Vikings at +3.5. I believe it could be a field goal game and a close game. So if the Vikings end up losing by a field goal at the end, you'll still win by a hook. So, I mean, I believe the odds are -130 if you do that parlay teaser. So just wanted to call you guys and give you guys my thoughts on the games and what I'm going to bet today. Just a little fun out there, so why not enjoy it? Put some money on the game today. You know what I mean?
Love it. And, I like the picks. I'm going to tell you, when we do our segments, I got a four-way parlay that on the game today, and that's with both of the totals and both the teams, and I actually like it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Appreciate the call, Jose, and I think that is
great hearing from you.
Yeah, absolutely, it's pretty cool.
Happy belated birthday, brother!
Oh, that's right.
And I love watching your show as well on the podcast.
I think he's gone, man. But
we got him.
But we appreciate Jose, and he's got a good podcast going on too. Always mentions us, and we should mention that. A lot of fun to watch, and a happy belated birthday to Jose. Listen, Mags, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We still got Blazing. We got Fact This. We got some pretty cool stuff for you, and our picks of the week. Like I said, I challenge any honest sports prognosticator to give us a call and tell me he's got a better record than we do cumulatively this year. I doubt it. We'll be right back.
Fact This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
Fact. By the end of next week, former chief medical coordinator for USA Gymnastics and former medical doctor and professor at Michigan State University, Larry Nassar, will officially be spending the rest of his life in a maximum security penitentiary for sexually abusing over 150 adolescent and teenage girls. It's sickening. This, I think, you need to hear.
Larry, you do realize now that we, this group of women you so heartlessly abused over such a long period of time, are now a force, and you are nothing.
He was allowed to treat us in hotel rooms alone without any supervision. He took photos of us during training and whenever else he wanted. Nobody was protecting us from being taken advantage of.
You made me believe that you were my friend. You deceived me?
Yeah, he deceived a lot of people, man. It is amazing when you read and hear about what this guy did. And Chris, it makes me sick that, you know what's so even worse, Mags, Chris, I went to school at the same time this guy did. He graduated a year after I did from Michigan State, so we were at school together. I may have had a class or two with him because I actually was following a pre-med curriculum for most of my collegiate days, so there's a very good chance I had a couple classes with this dude, man. It's sickening. I mean, over 150 people that this guy sexually abused. I'm sorry, but that blows Jerry Sandusky's number out of the water. I mean, this guy is truly sick. I wish they had a death penalty for a dude like this man.
Yeah, that's a horrific story that has come to the forefront and has given a real black eye to Spartans all over the world, really. It's alumni, students, the university.
They didn't fire until last year. They've known since like 2012 that he's been doing this.
It's another Penn State situation.
It is. It is, Chris.
Exactly. Mags hit on that. And that's the first thing that came to everybody's mind, right, when this story came to the forefront, was the thought of Penn State and the mark that it left on that university and what punishment should come about. And I think that's the next question, right, is how severely should Michigan State University get penalized given what has taken place here with regards to sexual abuse and someone who's actually worked for the university. But it's not just, I guess, it's obviously not just Michigan State. We're talking about USA Gymnastics as well.
Well, that's the other thing.
They gotta know.
A lot of this was going on at Caroli Ranch, which was owned by Bella Caroli. Caroli. And, you know, USA Gymnastics has now distanced themselves from this. But here's the thing. I don't believe it's impossible to not know that this is going on.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And this has been going on for years and years. I mean, Allie Raisman was a gymnast. She was in the Olympics, what, 5-6 years ago?
Dude, she started off in the Olympics 8 years ago, brother. So she's 23 years old. She was 15 years old when she started in the Olympics 8 years ago.
Here's the issue. Just like Penn State should have been absolutely destroyed by the federal government and the NCAA, Michigan State should as well. But, as we know, the NCAA is a complete disgrace and a mockery and a joke. And they'll slap Michigan State on the wrist. Yep. You know, Penn State was given this let's be real. USC was punished more for Reggie Bush getting payments than Penn State was for covering up pedophilia. That's how the NCAA operates. It's a disgrace. It's a joke.
Horrible.
And I'm a small government guy, but this is a situation where the federal government should be involved. Just like they should have been with Penn State and shutting everything down associated with that university and those sick people in college, in State College, PA, worshiping Joe Paterno as if he was a god while he was allowing pedophilia to take place on that campus.
Heard about it. Yeah, it really is. That's still one of the saddest stories in my life because Joe Pa, you know,
he's
a legend.
Scumbag. He's not a legend.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Scumbag.
Was a legend and ruined it. I mean, absolutely. It's like, you know, it's as bad as in a different way, but like Lance Armstrong, what he did to deceive the entire country for all that time. We're all proud of this guy, man of the year. And he, after suffering from cancer and being cured of testicular cancer, he's using steroids that are known to give you cancer. I didn't want to talk about that, but yeah, this is another one of those sick stories that it had to be brought light of. And Missy, you looked at it too. From a woman's perspective, man, how repulsive is something like this?
I'm disgusted by it. And the whole thing is, and you know, it doesn't matter what job a man has, it doesn't matter what title he has, you can still be that douche. Like, and that's just what it is, basically. It doesn't matter. Hands down.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Oh, it's just one of those deals where I didn't go to Michigan State, Brian, but I grew up in the area, a huge Michigan State fan growing up. And when the whole thing went down with Penn State, I felt bad for the people that had nothing to do with it, right? For the Penn State students, for the alumni, for people that have supported that university for all these years, to have something so horrific go down with the football program that it just put a black eye on the entirety of State College, and that is exactly what's about to happen here with Michigan State University as well. Too.
It's sick, and we got to do a better story. But being a father myself, and I have a young daughter, not young, 23 anymore, that I went through a molestation with her of that happening to her, and it's just it brought back horrific memories watching that video of thinking that there's monsters out there that use their power and position to take advantage of unassuming people. It's disgusting. Hey, Mags, let's do something more positive. Give me some, here we go. Do something a little more positive. Blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 of North Durango, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, and sports. And check this out. This is Blazing. Don't miss Out of Line Sunday, February 4th, the morning of the big game, broadcasting live on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 and 1340 AM. From 8 to 9 at Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. I'll be there. Missy will be there. It looks like we're going to be joined, if he can get the time off. Former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring is going to join us. Two-time Super Bowl champion Chuck Thomas with both of his rings. And, hey, by the way, Chuck Thomas also won a national championship when he was a center at Oklahoma and a high school championship in Texas. That is, man, that's the gamut. You got a ring at every level. That's pretty cool. He'll be there showing off those rings. There'll be plenty to eat, and we'll be giving away some great prizes. Arrive early and receive a Fox Sports t-shirt while they last. Plan on sticking around all day and into the night. After the show, there's a special Vegas Golden Knights viewing party. Oh, I'm losing my voice. And then it's the big game and the best big game party in town. That's Big Game Sunday, February 4th from 8 to 9, Out of Line, broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Be there. And hey, it is time for our NFL discussion, our picks. You know, I finally, man, like I said at the beginning of the show, I am out in front, and I have been out of line behind the entire damn season. It took 7 straight wins. Mags is going to say I had some magic, some lucky bounces, some lucky breaks. Hey, you know what? Maybe I got them because my Lions never get them. So maybe I got a few lucky bounces and some breaks. But we're going into this week. It is as tight as can be with 2 weeks to go. Mags is a half a game behind me. Dewey's 1 full game back. And we're coming down to the wire to see who's buying who. A nice lunch when this gets all said and done, and we'll see what's happening here. I'm going to go last today, and I'll let our guest pick first. I should say ladies first, but we're going to let our guest pick first.
Let's see what Wynn has to say.
Wynn, you got 2 games to choose from this week. You got the NFC Championship game at Philadelphia, Nick Foles versus Case Keenum to go to the Super Bowl.
Can you believe it?
-2.5 Minnesota on the road. You got the home dog, Philadelphia Eagles. You got maybe the best defense in the NFL. Who's winning?
Wow, it's a tough call given you've got those backup quarterbacks in there facing off in an NFC Championship game. But I got to keep rolling with the fairy tale, baby, and the possibility that the first time ever a team can play in their home stadium in the Super Bowl. I think with that defense being the number one defense in the NFL, of course the Jaguars playing against the Pats, the number two defense in the league. I think Minnesota's defense is the difference. You're going to see a low-scoring affair at Philadelphia, and the Vikings are going to be headed home to play the Super Bowl. They knock off the Eagles
-2.5 is Chris Wynn. The new Purple People Eaters the Minnesota Vikings, yeah, who, by the way, have lost 5 straight NFC Championship games, and they are 0-4 in the Super Bowl today. But you know what? That means they've played in 9 NFC Championship games, and the Lions have played in 1 and no Super Bowl. So I guess I can be jealous. But hey, you know, we'll see what happens. Mags, I'll let you go second, man. What's going on?
I think me and Dewey are on the same side here. What am I getting, or what am I giving with the Patriots?
You are giving 7.5 points with the New England Patriots.
Look, I like the Patriots. I don't believe any of this nonsense about Tom Brady's hand. The Patriots have circumvented the rules for years. They're doing it again today. I think Jacksonville's defense outside of their front four is overrated. Look, they gave up over 40 points last week to the Steelers. They lost to the
Jets. Outside of their front four, you know, did you know Miles Jack?
Listen. Tom Brady has been taking he's been taking snaps out of the shotgun. That's a good thing because he's got a quick release. Jacksonville will not have time to get pressure on Brady. I think you're playing with fool's gold if you take the Jaguars today.
Okay, I like what you're saying. I appreciate it, and I also smell what you're stepping in. But in the same respect, the Jacksonville is a lot farther than 4 deep in the frickin' Super Bowl. I mean, in this game, Miles Jack is one of the best linebackers in the NFL and one of the best to play since Ray Lewis. I mean, this guy is ridiculously good. That whole Jacksonville team defensively is great. Blake Bortles played serviceably last weekend. If he can do what he did against Pittsburgh,
.334 career win percentage.
Mags, 3 of the 4 quarterbacks heading to potential Super Bowl.
But three of the four aren't playing the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Right. You are right, but I'm glad you're going with the same team, Dewey. As you and Dewey both got the Patriots 7. You know how safe I could be, Wynn? I could be totally a scumbag, take the Patriots as well, to guarantee that I can't fall behind them. But I'm not going to do it. Missy, who are you taking before I give my pick?
Vikings. Already told you.
You're going with the Vikings.
What up, girl?
Okay. You and C-Win. And I am going all against the grain. I am playing with fool's gold. I am going to say that defense still wins championships. Now, one thing that I will say, the Patriots have not gotten nearly enough credit since with that defense since October. They have played great defensive football. However, the Jacksonville Jaguars have the best defense in the NFL. I'll say Minnesota might be right there with them, but I'm not going against defense. I think the Patriots are going to win this game in a nail biter, and I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will cover
the
7.5-point
spread.
Well,
I hope the Patriots lose, to be honest. I mean, okay, buying you dinner is worth the Patriots losing.
And I'm not disagreeing. And I'll tell you, on my 4-team parlay, remember I told you I had a 4-teamer for you? I really like this. I think if you're going to take a 4-team parlay, take a chance on Philadelphia. I did last week against Atlanta. Bet them and the money line. Take Jacksonville and the points. Take it to 7.5. Philadelphia the money line and take both unders. I think it's a nice 14 parlay right there. Both unders. I think with Brady's hand, you got your out. You're exposed to East Coast weather in both games pretty much. I like that 14 parlay. But my pick of the week, Jacksonville Jaguars getting the 7.5. Hey, out of line, we are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian, she's Missy, he's Wynn, he's Mags. Want to thank everyone. Thanks, Shapiro. Thanks, Shakur Justin. We'll see you next week.
And I want to thank the crowd tonight, the people of Las Vegas who were here and